Blog Talk Radio.
Yesterday, the New York Mets beat the Yankees in the first of what is now a two-game series. Tonight, the Yankees try and tie it up. We simulcast with the sports docket and battle it out for New York supremacy. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to a special Sports 7 with Mark and Evan. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Branoff, and get your Subway Series argument already, because do we have a great show for you tonight or what? We're battling out with the Quas and Ace Man, and it should be a great show.
Yeah, they'll be calling us in just about a minute or so. Ace Man will be joining us at 7:30, so Evan and I will have the advantage to start it out at 2-on-1. We also encourage all viewers out there, Yankees or Mets fans, we'll have a time in the show where you'll be able to call in and jump into the argument yourself. So pick a side, duel it out, tell us who you agree with, and just spill your guts. So very exciting, and we're just awaiting the call from Ace Man and the Quas. They'll be with us momentarily, and you could also hear the show from their end, since it is a simulcast, at blogtalkradio.com/docket. Maybe you want to open up both shows at the same time and do some chat room hopping, as our Blog Talk Radio web chat is open and theirs will be too. So you could chat with their fans, chat with our fans, and keep both shows open at the same time. But just mute one of them, otherwise the sound will be a bit confusing. And the Quas is on the phone with us right now. And Quas, how you doing?
I'm doing very good, guys. I mean, I'm still pumped up after that 7-4 win yesterday, and I'm ready to bust out the brooms tonight.
Well, I don't know if we'll be seeing any brooms, but it's Chin-Ming Wong versus Oliver Perez. The game is in 57 minutes from now, give or take, and should be a good matchup, and the whole world will be able to see it on ESPN.
Definitely. And the weather, of course, was raining on and off today. Hopefully, I imagine they'll get this one in. It wasn't as bad as Friday night. So I don't think the weather should be an issue in getting in game two tonight. And I'm surprised that actually the Mets have stuck with Oliver Perez. I thought they would have skipped him and gone to John Main. But after Oliver Perez's last start against the Reds, where he shut Cincinnati out for 5 innings, I mean, he did have that one bad sixth, but he was pretty dominant for 5 innings plus. So I think the Mets made the right decision, not to mention that Perez is 3-1 in his career against the Yankees. So I think Randolph wanted the matchups tonight. And I think he made a smart decision in putting Perez against Chin-Ming Wong. Of course, Wong coming off that loss, his first loss of 2008.
Yeah, he wasn't going to go undefeated. He was going to lose the game eventually. So I'm still not worried about Chin-Ming Wong.
Wow, Evan's getting feisty early. I don't think Quas was implying a little bit of an argument there after saying the loss, but Evan, feistiness, saying he's not going to go undefeated, that is correct. And
I wasn't trying to be feisty. I was just making a point.
His ERA is still at 2.9, so it should be a pretty good pitching matchup. Oliver Perez, 3-3 with a 4.6 ERA, so that is the pitching matchup for tonight.
You know, I don't see why, Chin-Ming Wong can't be undefeated after, especially last season. I mean, right now, Brandon Webb is 9-0 for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, I mean, I mean, obviously Wong is not Brandon Webb, but he's pretty good. I expected him to know to, you know, maybe even go undefeated, but I guess not. But again, anybody wants to call into our program, you can call Sports Heaven at 1-718-508-9443, and you can call the Sports Docket, myself so far, maybe Ackerman later on, at 1-646-478-5118.
All right, now before we get into a real detailed preview, of course we went over the pitching matchups. Let's go over yesterday's game where the Mets won, as you mentioned. And we're going to go inning by inning. I'll take Evan and I here. Of course, we'll take it from the Yankees' perspective, what was going through our heads after each inning, and then you'll take the Mets' perspective there and tell us what was going through your head. So let's start with the top half of the first inning. Andy Pettitte on the mound. And he looked sharp. Of course, David Wright got that single, but he struck out the side. He struck out Reyes swinging. He struck out Church on a foul tip into the glove. And Beltran struck out.
It was a vintage Andy Pettitte start. I mean, Andy Pettitte always seems to start out his starts pretty well. He always comes out throwing hard. So, I mean, I didn't expect the Mets to tee off Pettitte that early in the game. Again, I mean, we'll talk about the fourth inning when the Mets managed to force Pettitte to throw 41 pitches in the inning, and they scored the three runs off him. But in the first inning, Pettitte looked very sharp. How about the bottom of the first? Yankees on the board.
Yeah, bottom of the first, you had a Damon walk, Abreu struck out, and then a very rare two-run home run for Derek Jeter. We're used to seeing Jeter, you know, some line drive home runs, don't really get over the wall. A lot of opposite field home runs. Of course, just talking generally, that was only his second home run of the season. But Jeter hit a monstrous shot, and he pulled it down the line. You do not see Jeter pull it like he did down the line like that, and it was an unbelievable home run. I was very surprised with Derek Jeter in that home run. I mean, that is rare for him.
It wasn't a classic Yankee Stadium home run, that's for sure. I mean, you see the home runs down the porch. That was not that would not be classified as that. But I think the strategy by Joe Girardi in putting Jeter in the three-hole really paid off. I mean, when Jeter is returning to like an A-Rod in that game, the 3-for-4, the two RBIs. No, Jeter was definitely a number three hitter, even though the Yankees did lose 7-4. He had a quality game, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I still don't understand why he put him in the three spot, though.
That was actually the second game in a row that he did that. It's kind of something new that Joe Girardi's trying out, and, you know, I don't really mind it. I kind of like it.
But you put a batter with no power into the three spot and just expect him to start batting with power? I don't get it.
I mean, even though Jeter doesn't have power, he does have pop in his bat, of course. I mean, he has the highest batting average on the Yankees. Even Matsui's been really scuffling. He's down to 306. Jeter has the highest batting average on the Yankees. So, and also, he's the clutch hitter. I mean, and Jeter is one of the best hitters in his career against the Mets. I think he has, for a player with 150 plate appearances, I remember hearing that Jeter has the highest batting average against the Mets. So, I mean, also the matchups are definitely a big part of that. And I think Jeter's also teed off well against Santana. So, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with Girardi putting Jeter in the three-hole. It definitely paid off.
I definitely didn't see anything wrong with it. I mean, there's no big difference from any of the Yankee dominant bats right now in the order when A-Rod and Posada aren't in the lineup. So whether it's Abreu or Jeter, there's no real big difference. But I was just surprised why the change was made. And I wasn't surprised that he did. I wasn't expecting it.
You mean like the flip-flopping of Abreu and Jeter in the lineup? I mean, Abreu has done pretty well in the two-hole. I mean, that's a little I thought that was a weird move. But why was he batting Abreu second as opposed to, like, fourth or fifth? But Jeter, I think that definitely that move was paid off the last two games. It'd be interesting to see tonight if that's still the case with Jeter in that three-hole. And, of course, when A-Rod comes back on Tuesday off the DL, I mean, Jeter's going to be automatically moved up back to two or even one in the order. So, I mean, it's probably just part of Girardi's juggling the lineup for right now.
I don't think Jeter's going to move to number one. I mean, of course, you have Johnny Damon there. But
Well, I meant two, second in the order.
But if A-Rod's going to bat fourth, why is Jeter necessarily going to move back to second? It wouldn't affect Jeter or Abreu.
Well, I think he would move Jeter back to second because you're moving Abreu down. A-Rod normally bats fourth, doesn't he?
Exactly. A-Rod? So that wouldn't really affect where Jeter stands in the lineup as long as he's top three.
I guess, but then again, then you have to look at the bottom of the lineup. Then let's say you bring A-Rod back and hit him fourth behind Jeter, then Giambi gets pushed back to sixth or seventh. I mean, you don't want Giambi batting that low in the order. I mean, he's not having a Carlos Delgado season.
But either way, the Giambi's going to be pushed back, and Jeter, whether he's second or third, it's just going to be whatever Abreu and him decide, whatever Girardi decides them to bat. It's not really going to – where Jeter bats has nothing to do with Giambi.
I guess, but, I mean, I don't think the Yankees want to bat Giambi that low. I mean – especially if they have Cano hitting ahead of him. I mean, the Yankees want Giambi to get as much chances at runners in scoring position, and the way he gets that type of chance is the opportunity is if he's batting fifth or sixth, not batting like seventh or eighth in the order. So, I mean, I see what you're saying, Evan, but I think when A-Rod comes back, I think I can see Girardi putting Jeter back in the two-hole.
Can you just explain to me, please, why putting Jeter in the two-hole has anything to do with Giambi moving?
Because when you put Jeter in two hole, you move Abreu down, right?
No, you. All right, Abreu and Jeter, no matter what, are going to be the 2-3 hitters, correct?
Yes.
So what does that have to do with? If you put Jeter in the two hole, that means Abreu becomes three and A-Rod becomes four. Or if Jeter stays in the three hole, or. Are you listening?
You're not to bat Matsui behind Giambi. That would be stupid.
Okay.
Well, you know what? let's continue with the breakdown of the inning by inning before we get into a whole battle over where Jeter should bat. So let's continue with the bottom half of the first inning. After the rare Jeter two run home run, Matsui grounded out and Giambi fouled out. That ended the inning. And now we move to the top half of the second, and Andy Pettitte came back out after a strong first inning, a loose single to left. Then you got Delgado to strike out swinging, easily to strike out swinging. And for any fans who didn't see the game, if you're seeing some kind of a trend, his first five outs, they were all strikeouts. So, he started off really strong.
Andy Pettitte was on his game early on. I mean, he finished with seven strikeouts, but the bulk of them came in the first two innings. Yeah, Andy Pettitte was definitely a dominant going on. Then we saw his age show as he went towards the third and the fourth inning. But
yeah,
again,
and go ahead.
No, I was just saying that the Mets, they got him in the third inning, and then Pettitte was gone by the sixth. So, and then of course the Mets got to face Kyle Farnsworth, and who doesn't like to tee off Farnsworth? But we'll get to that later on. But again. Pettitte, you know what? Pettitte's had some of those. He's had a tale of two seasons. I mean, even in such a young season, he's had these starts where he starts out really throwing the ball hard and striking a lot of hitters, and then he ends the starts, where he's on the losing side. So, again, I don't know.
But what I did notice with Pettitte, which was kind of weird. I mean, I believe he pitched around 110 pitches yesterday. I mean, he really went out. He didn't end up doing that badly, but he started the game throwing fastballs at 89 miles per hour. And I saw I think his 101st pitch came to Carlos Delgado. He threw another fastball. His 101st pitch and his first pitch both were 89 miles per hour. So I mean, he did not lose velocity despite throwing all those pitches.
And but the big part of the game, of course, when you have the radar gun, Santana significantly higher on the radar gun than Andy Pettitte. Santana only had five strikeouts, which is very low for him. But Santana really got that curveball in the low 90s going towards later in.
And now finishing out that second inning after the Delgado and Easley strikeout, they caught a loose stealing, and that was the third out, and that brought it to the bottom half of the second, and the Yankees were still leading 2-0 at that time. Robinson Cano led off the inning, and he's been hitting better as of late, but he did ground out to second. Santana then... Go ahead.
Talking about Moises Alou getting thrown out was that? He got thrown out second base by Andy Pettis, but Chad Mola behind the plate. He had his day cut out for him. I mean, he had the two stolen bases by David Wright and Carlos Beltran. Chad Mola had a pretty busy day behind the plate, and he looked a little bit. I mean, he looked a little slow footed behind the plate. And not to say that Posada is the best defensive catcher the Yankees have had either, but I mean, Chad Mola. I mean, he wasn't prepared for the Mets speed.
I personally don't mind Chad Mola that much. He's not that bad, and he's shown that he could hit the ball as well. I mean, he went 0-for-3 yesterday, but Chad Mola has proven to be a decent replacement while Posada is out.
Definitely. So let's get over. I guess we're going to the. So what happened in the bottom of the second?
The bottom of the second, it was the Cano ground out, and Santana walked Melky Cabrera, and then Alberto Gonzalez grounded out to third. Cabrera was able to move over to second, but the inning ended when Chad Mola struck out swinging. And so that was a pretty easy, quick inning for Johan Santana.
Was that his second strikeout or first strikeout?
That was, let's see, that was his second strikeout.
Second strikeout. So now we go on top of the third, and still nothing cooking for the Mets.
Right, top of the third, you had Schneider with a ground out right in front of home plate. Chad Mola made the play. Andy Pettit had actually given up on that play almost immediately. Chad Mola was almost more than halfway towards the pitcher's mound, and he turned and made a very good throw to first, and that got Schneider out. Then Luis Castillo grounded out to Jeter, and Andy Pettit got the 1-2-3 inning with Jose Reyes then flying out to center.
And then the bottom of the third, Santana had a 1-2-3 inning.
That is not correct. In the bottom of the third, Damon started off the inning with a single to left. Then Bobby Abreu doubled to right center field. Ryan Church cut it off. Damon tried to score, and Brian Schneider had a great block at home plate. And even though Damon beat the throw, Schneider's foot was right in front of home plate, and Damon's foot never touched it, and he was called out.
Wait. Damon was thrown out in the bottom of the third, not the bottom of the fourth, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, cause
Damon was thrown out at home.
Yes, and, that was actually they said that was the momentum change of the game, and I agree. The announcers were saying that because then the Mets would come right back in the fourth, and they pounded Pettit for three runs.
And then after. Now you have Abreu standing on second. Damon was thrown out at home. Jeter lined out to right field for the second out. And then Hideki Matsui ended the inning with a ground out to first base. So Abreu was stranded at second, and the Yankees did not come up with any runs.
Mm-hmm.
So now to bring up, now we're going to go to the top of the fourth. And we saw Andy Pettit. I mean, he had 5 strikeouts at the time, I believe. He was doing really well. He threw 13 pitches in the first inning, 13 pitches in the second inning, 15 pitches in the third inning, and as you mentioned at the top, he threw 41 pitches in the fourth, and here's why. Ryan Church, a check swing, like crappy, not legitimate single to center field. I was not happy about that. It was a little bloop check swing single. David Wright followed that up. This was a full swing, but it was another bloop hit to center field. So now you have first and second. Carlos Beltran steps in. Carlos Beltran was the only person in this long 41-pitch, 24-minute fourth inning that had a legitimate hit. Nobody else had a legitimate hit at all. Carlos Beltran singled to left, scoring Ryan Church. David Wright moved over to second base. Andy Pettit, I believe, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind he was pitching around Moises Salou to get to Carlos Delgado. So Moises Salou did walk, but, I mean, you could almost see that it was on purpose.
5 years ago, you never would have said that. 5 years ago, you never would have seen a posing pitcher pitch around Moises Salou to get to Carlos Delgado. But the way Delgado's been swinging the bat the last 1.5 seasons, right now, anybody doesn't mind pitching to Carlos Delgado. So then what happens when Delgado comes to the plate?
I mean, and Moises Salou has been so clutch despite his age. So, I mean, they pitched around him. And you could tell, certainly, when he faced Delgado that he was pitching around him because he was really challenging Delgado. His pitches were coming in hard. They were right over the plate. Delgado ended up popping it out to Derek Jeter. So, you know, you still have one run. Then Damian Easley struck out. So another strikeout for Andy Pettit. That gave him 6 on the day. So, you know, still not looking too bad. But then Brian Schneider came up. He walked. This is when the bases were loaded. He walked Brian Schneider. So David Wright scored. Beltran was then on third, and Alou was on second. And then after that, Luis Castillo with a little infield single. It was deep in the hole, and Jeter was able to stop it, but couldn't do anything else. So that was an infield single for him. Beltran scored. Alou's on third. Schneider goes to second. And then the inning ended with Jose Reyes popping out to short. So it was a long inning for Andy Pettitte. He ended up allowing three runs to give the Mets a 3-2 lead in the top half of the fourth inning on four hits. And he did walk in one run.
All right, so the Mets have the lead now, but the Yankees try to come back in the bottom of the fourth?
The Yankees did try to come back in the bottom of the fourth, and despite...
They didn't really feel like coming back.
Well, despite Johan Santana sitting down for 24 minutes, he did not rust at all. He threw six pitches. Giambi lined out to... he almost took off Santana's head, but Santana ducked, took away a single up the middle, and just snagged it with his glove. Following Giambi, Cano grounded out to shortstop, and then Melky Cabrera also grounded out to shortstop. So that was a 1-2-3 six-pitch inning for Johan Santana.
Yeah, I can just imagine Hank Steinbrenner cringing when he's watching that inning. All right, let's go to the fifth. Top of the fifth.
Top of the fifth, Andy Pettitte coming back on the mound. He is now at this point around 75-80 pitches. So, I mean, but he still stayed in there. He got Church to fly out to center. Then David Wright grounded out to short. Beltran picked up a nice single to center field. And Moises Alou then was hit by a pitch. So then you had first and second. And then Beltran
but
stole
Moises
third.
Alou was hit by the pitch. Did any tempers flare, or was it kind of like... obviously, it wasn't on purpose. I mean, there was no reason to hit Moises Alou.
There's no way it was on purpose. I mean, he's down 3-2. He's all up at 80 pitches. I mean, I don't know how you could possibly assume he did that on purpose.
Well, yeah, no, I said it wasn't on purpose, but, I mean, did any tempers flare in the dugouts, or was it rather calm?
And then Delgado ended the inning with a strikeout swinging, so that ended the top half of the fifth inning.
Bottom of the fifth, nothing across to the Yankees.
Bottom of the fifth was, again, a six-pitch inning for Johan Santana. Gonzalez grounded out to short. Chad Mueller flied out to right, and Johnny Damon grounded out to second. So after Pettitte had that rough fourth, Santana came back through 12 pitches through two innings, and both innings were 1-2-3. So not a good job by the Yankees. They were not able to capitalize at all.
Then we have to the sixth inning and Pettitte's last inning of work before Girardi brings in Farnsworth for the seventh.
That is correct. Pettitte did finish out the sixth. Again, he finished with about 110 pitches. He actually finished with 116 pitches, to be exact. The sixth inning, where are we now? The top half of the sixth inning, Damien Easley flied out. Brian Schneider flied out to left. And then Castillo flied out to center. So it was a 1-2-3-6. For Andy Pettitte.
Yeah, if you want to break down Andy Pettitte's start or pitch by pitch, I mean, he had 73 of his 116 were thrown for strikes. So I think for Pettitte, it wasn't really a control issue. It only walked two batters. But I think for Pettitte, the issue was working those long counts and, of course, those little bloops and those balls getting by the infielders really hurt the Yankees.
Well, if you wanted to kind of start that little Yankees-Mets duel right now, it was that fourth inning that really hurt them. And as I said earlier, the Mets only had one legitimate hit in that inning, and it was Carlos Beltran. Ryan Church started off the inning, a check swing bloop single. He was followed up with another bloop single. And Moises Alou was walked, but he had to pitch around in the face of Carlos Delgado. I mean, there was no other choice. He had to do that. So, I mean, it was a bad inning for Andy Pettitte. But, I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular by the New York Mets in any way.
Now, not to mention the Yankees, usually they play well against when they switch around their infield against left-handed batters, against anybody who's not named David Ortiz. So,
yeah, that is true. I mean, Pettitte didn't do that bad despite throwing 116 pitches. He had that fourth inning. Those were the only runs he gave up, just that inning. He threw six innings, gave up three runs. He struck out seven. He did walk two. Again, he was pitching around Alou, though. So, I mean, it wasn't really that bad of an outing. And he, and as I said before, his velocity did not change. When he was up at 100 pitches, his fastball was 89. So, I mean, really not that bad of a day for Pettit at all. It was Farnsworth who really messed it up, and we'll get to that momentarily.
And then we head to the seventh inning now, and before the Yankees fans even stretch.
Well, first we got to do the bottom half of the sixth.
Well, nothing happened.
Nothing did happen. It was a 1-2-3 inning again for Santana, but I wanted to bring it up because, you know, after Pettit's bad fourth inning, Santana came back with three 1-2-3 innings, two of which were only six pitches. And, well, it wasn't really a 1-2, it was a 1-2-3, but Jeter was credited with a hit as he was trying to stretch into a double. He was thrown out. But now we can head to the top half of the seventh, where Pettit's day ended. It was Kyle Farnsworth who started it out. And, of course, typical Kyle Farnsworth, despite pitching well as of late, Reyes leads off the inning with a home run to right. And, you know, as a Yankee fan, you got to be like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, you take Andy Pettit out, he gives up the first run.
That was a Yankee Stadium home run. That was a Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, go ahead. I was disagreeing with you. It was a Yankee Stadium home run, and as a Yankee fan, you just got to be like, you know, Andy Pettit had that bad fourth inning, you're down 3-2, and then Santana, 3-1-2-3 innings in a row, and then Kyle Farnsworth comes out and gives up a leadoff home run to Jose Reyes. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then following that, he walks Ryan Church, then gives up a two-run home run to David Wright. And, I mean, a Yankee fan, you're sitting there going, what's going on? I mean, you're completely blowing away the game. And, I mean, Kyle Farnsworth, that is typical crappy bullpen right there. And I do not want to see Kyle Farnsworth in a game for a very long time. And, Evan, we have not heard from you in a little while. How about giving us some of your thoughts on what's been going on in the game yesterday?
All right, well, so far in the game, the key is the top of the fourth inning when the Mets really were able to get those four runs off of those dinky hits. I don't even know if I can call them dinky hits, just the dinky ball-touching bats. All right, but of course, the Yankees got to see who they passed up on. Johan Santana really pitched well. He had a little bit of a struggle in the bottom of the first. Then he really was a dominant pitcher, having eight pitch innings. It was just he shut down the Yankees for a good majority of the game. And then Farnsworth doing what he does best, sucking. And the Yankees really need to find a new bullpen pitcher because they're in trouble. They really are in trouble. Even if their starters start out well, you can't just rely on Jabba Chamberlain, who has proven to be human, and Mariano Rivera, who also let up a run this week for the first time of the season. You can't just rely on them every single night. And lately they haven't even been able to get to them to close out the game because not even the starting pitching has been doing well. I trust about two out of the five starting pitchers. So,
not to mention that Yankee fans now know that Jabba Chamberlain is not human and that he does have faults. Like, and
Jabba Chamberlain now is human.
What?
We now know that he is human.
Yeah, like I just said, because he let up that three-run home run. And I think he's 1-2, actually, on the season. He actually has a losing record. So he is human, and unfortunately, the Yankees
cannot afford the human pitcher right now out of the pen.
Right now, they need a robot, and unfortunately, we do not have any robots playing for the New York Yankees. But with the way the Yankees, what
I said, you have a robot playing for the Mets right now. I mean, Billy Wagner, Wags has been just unbelievable this season. I mean, he got his ninth save, of course, to close out the ninth inning. Randolph, for the first time this season, called on Wagner for that four-out save, and he did a great job with it, coming on for Santana with one out in the eighth inning. I mean, two outs in the eighth. And you know what? I mean, Wagner only gave up two hits. We're sitting here on the 18th of May, and Billy Wagner still has not allowed not allowed an unearned run this whole season. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Allowed an unearned run?
And he had not allowed a single earned run.
Oh, I thought you said an unearned run.
He allowed three unearned runs. He's not allowed a single earned run this season. The nine saves, I think 28 innings or so, not a single run against his record. So
yeah, Wagner.
Wagner's
has been.
Dominant.
Yeah, he's been very good. Let's finish
that seventh inning. I mean, the Mets.
Let's finish that seventh inning. So you had that right two-run home run after Church walked. Beltran then popped.
That was a beauty. You got to admit, that home run was a beauty.
That is correct. And then you had Beltran pop out the second, Alou grounded out the third, and then Carlos Delgado, of course, once he's going to get his first hit of the game and actually do something useful in the seventh inning versus Kyle Farnsworth, he did single, but it didn't lead to anything, as Damian Easley ended the inning with a strikeout swinging. So that was Kyle Farnsworth for you, and that pretty much blew the game wide open and almost sealed the deal for the New York Mets. That was then a 6-2 lead for the Mets. So then now we move to the bottom half of the seventh, and finally, you know, Santana's still in the game, but the Yankees do show some type of a comeback. Giambi leads off with a home run to right field, which is not the Giambino, not anything rare. But Robinson Cano, who did not have a good game at all and struck out looking. Melky Cabrera grounded out to Reyes.
I know you guys saw this story in the Daily News the other day, but apparently Giambi has a secret lucky charm that he uses to get out of hitting slumps. You probably saw it, didn't you?
Actually, Evan is the one who brought it up to me. And Evan, what do you got?
Yes, he likes to wear women's underwear for luck. He has a gold thong that he keeps in his locker. Whenever he needs to get out of a slump, he wears his thong. And he's not the only Yankee to have worn it. Of course, Jeter and Damon have tried it as well. So if the Yankees ever bend over and you see some G-string, don't be surprised.
Yes, I guess it does work. So, I mean, you can't really argue.
He was 0 for 32. Remember when Jeter had that just awful slump when he was 0 out of 32, and then and Giambi gave him the golden thong, and lo and behold, Jeter hits a home run.
And then also, the closeout to the bottom of the seventh, Gonzalez slide out to center. Now, Quas, why don't you remind the fans, both listening into your show and our show, we are simulcasting with the Sports Docket, for those of you who are unaware listening to our show. We're doing a little bit of a Yankees-Mets post game from yesterday. Then we'll have a little, you know, with some fights in between. Then we'll have a preview later on. But, Quas, remind the fans how they could kind of jump into the discussion, pick a side, and duel it out with us.
You can call into my program at 1-646-478-5118. That's how you contact the Sports Docket. And you want to contact these Yankee fans of Sports Heaven, you call. It's their show at 1-718-508-9443, and you can get the Yankee perspective side of the story. So, again, we're going to about 7:55. And then, of course, you got your Mets and Yankees game two of the abbreviated series before the Mets head off to Atlanta. And the Yankees' next trip is where?
All right, so let's move in now to the top half of the eighth inning. And top half of the eighth inning. Of course, Kyle Farnsworth taken out after the three runs in the seventh. So who do they bring on? Edouard Ramirez. And he did get the job done in that top half of the eighth. Schneider popped out the second.
It wasn't easy. He gave him a hit and a walk, but he was able to get through it.
He got Schneider to pop out the second, then Castillo walked, then Jose Reyes picked up a single, so you have first and second, and then Church struck out swinging, and Chad Mohler threw out Castillo stealing, so it was a strike him out, throw him out double play for the Yankees, and that ended the inning, and again, Chad Mohler did a great job.
And then in the bottom of the eighth inning, Sterling once again gets to say, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
That is correct. Santana still on the mound in that eighth inning for at least two of the outs.
Home run number three for the Yankees.
What happened here is Chad Mueller started out the inning, flied out to left. That was followed up by a demon striking out, and then Bobby Abreu goes yard to dead center field. That ball just kept on carrying and carrying and carrying and went over that center field wall. Jeter then doubled to right, but Matsui left him there after grounding out to second base. So they got one run on two hits, and at this point, of course, the Mets still did lead. Now, prior to going into the top half of the ninth inning and closing out that game, let's take a quick little commercial break. So, Quash, you want to do a Docket commercial or a Sports 7 commercial?
Let's go Sports 7 style.
All right, so let's do a Sports 7 commercial. It's going to be about 3 minutes or so. So we'll be back in 3 minutes. We'll talk about the top half of the ninth. Maybe take your phone calls and do a preview of tonight's game on ESPN. So we'll be right back about 3 minutes.
Why is Sports Center with Mark and Evan the best sports radio show for you to tune into? We've had Newsday sports writer Jim Bandback on our show.
The baseball season is so long, and then it's long enough where you can play so poorly for, we're not talking, 2 weeks here. They were playing poorly for over a month.
NHL.com's Evan Grossman has been on our show.
This is the worst, this unstoppable force that everybody thought they were after winning all the Rangers. And then the Rangers were actually a little bit better against them than the Islanders were. They weren't quite as physical, and I don't think the Rangers' defense is as good as under them. But
we have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Post, Mark Hale, on our show.
The Mets not just being a good team or a competitive team, but the Mets being consistently over the last year and a half one of the two or three best teams in baseball.
And, of course, we've had New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox announcer Kenny Albert on our show.
Back-to-back-to-back, Ramirez, Rulo, Veritek. Off the rookie Chase Wright is making only his second career start. Four consecutive Red Sox home runs in the third inning.
We have even had NBC sports anchor Bruce Beck on our show.
And now the guy that was the stable guy, Mark and Evan, is gone, Joe Torre. And now it looks again like there's a big Steinbrenner, who's running the show, and that's Hank. I think he's the guy that's got his dad's personality in terms of a little bit of a temper. And who knows what's going to happen here with all these free agents.
In addition, we've had Yankees beat writer for MLB.com, Brian Hoke, on our show.
If the Yankees falter like they did in the first half, I could see a real situation where they're in third or even as low as fourth. Probably not fourth, but I could see a situation where the Yankees finish in third place.
And the list just continues on. We have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Daily News, Adam Rubin, on our show.
I don't think they're a lock by any stretch. I think they're certainly the favorite in the NL East. Certainly injuries can undermine the Mets, and they're the oldest team in baseball, so it's certainly susceptible to that.
And it doesn't end there. We have also had New York Jets cornerback Darrell Revis on our show.
So, overall, how satisfied are you in the way that you played your rookie season?
I'm not. Trust me. My uncle, he's my biggest critic. And the year has passed, and it's a new year. It's just a lot of more things that when I look back on film, I could have did better. And now this is my second year to overcome that and do a lot of more positive things in my game.
You're listening to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. It's the best sports radio show the internet can handle.
Okay, welcome back to the Sports Heaven Sports Docket simulcast, talking Yankees and Mets in the Subway Series, reviewing yesterday's game, and later on previewing tonight's game. So, Quas, let's finish out this game. We're ready to start off with the top of the ninth inning.
And we start at the top of the ninth inning, the Mets tack on another run.
They did tack on another run, but not right away. It was Jabba Chamberlain who came into the game. You would think a little bit of a sigh of relief after Farnsworth and Ramirez. Edouard did not do a poor job at all, but
Carlos Beltran with triple, and yeah, go ahead.
It was Wright who grounded out to second, then the Beltran triple to left center field. Then Alou struck out, and then it was Carlos Delgado who singled to right field, and Beltran was easily able to score from third. Then Marlon Anderson pinch hit for Damian Easley, and he did not get the job done as he struck out swinging. So
yeah,
that ended up the inning.
Delgado definitely with a clutch bat against Chamberlain, and you know, we've seen Chamberlain falter a couple of times now, including a blown save opportunity, actually. Blown game opportunity against the Devil Rays. And you know what? Carlos Delgado got a very good pitch to hit from Chamberlain, and he didn't waste it, and he drove it into center field to drive in Beltran and put the Mets, give them an extra run, an extra cushion for Billy Wagner, who would come on and have a pretty easy ninth inning.
That is true, and if we go over that bottom half of the ninth inning, it was Jason Giambi who started off with a single to left. Robinson Cano followed that up on an infield hit. So now you have first and second, nobody out. The tying run comes up to the plate in Melky Cabrera, but he flied out to right. So now you have first and second, one out. Yankees still trying for that comeback, so Joe Girardi decides to pinch hit Shelly Duncan for Alberto Gonzalez. And Shelly Duncan has not proven to do too well. And Shelly Duncan then fouls out behind home plate. And then Morgan Ensberg pinch hit for Chad Mohr. Ensberg struck out, and that ended the game. Billy Wagner picking up the save. And the New York Mets with the victory, 7-4. And it was really Farnsworth, and who really blew that game wide open for the Mets, and Jabba Chamberlain allowed the Mets to add on that one other run. And not one of the best performances out of the bullpen for the New York Yankees.
Definitely not. And for those who are just tuning in, you can call into our program once again. The number is 1-646-478-5118, and you can call Sports 7 at 1-718-508-9443. Going to get into now the, of course, starting lineups. The game is about, 18 minutes away from starting on ESPN. As always, the Mets and Yankees closing out their series. And then they'll have round two with three games at Shea. And I assume the Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, the home and away series. The Mets and Yankees will do that at the two stadiums, Yankee Stadium in the afternoon, and I guess Shea at night. Let's get to the lineups here.
We'll get to the lineups. I'll do the Yankees lineup. You'll do the Mets lineup. So we'll start with the home team in the Bronx with the Yankees lineup. Leading off, Johnny Damon playing left field. And again, Joe Girardi for, I believe it's the third straight game. It's at least the third straight game. Bobby Abreu is in the second slot in right field. Derek Jeter follows him up at shortstop, batting third. Matsui's in the cleanup role, DHing tonight. Giambi will play first and bat fifth. Robinson Cano, second base. He'll bat sixth. Melky Cabrera in center, bat seventh. Alberto Gonzalez, bats eighth and third. And tonight catching is Jose Molina. He'll bat ninth.
And for the New York Mets, the visiting team, pretty much the same lineup except for the flip-flopping. Anderson in the left field and Alou at DH. So it'd be Jose Reyes leads off at shortstop. Batting number two, the left fielder, Marlon Anderson. At third base, David Wright will bat third. Carlos Beltran hits cleanup in center field. Ryan Church in right field bats fifth. Moises Alou will be the designated hitter. He'll bat sixth. Carlos Delgado again on the seventh spot. He'll play first base. Brian Schneider will catch him at eighth. And again, Luis Castillo will bat ninth at second base. So there's your starting lineups, and I must admit the Yankees do, I guess you guys have probably admit as well, the Yankees do have the favorite in the pitching matchup, but again, you never know, especially with the way Wong's last outing went, but again.
Oh my, all right. He had one bad outing, and it wasn't even that bad. I think he had three earned runs. Oliver Perez, if you're going to say you don't know how his start is going to go because of Tin Ming Wong's last outing, look at Oliver Perez's last five outings, how inconsistent and bad he's been. So I,
no, but again, again, Oliver Perez has had four very good career starts against the Yankees. So in limited time against the Yankees, he's done pretty well. I mean, Chin-Ming Wong has had what? Only one start in his career versus the Mets.
Well, also keep in mind that by the way, the Yankees last year at this point were also 20-23, and in that 44th game, Chin-Ming Wong got the win over Tim Wakefield. That was the Red Sox. But keep in mind, Chin-Ming Wong is a very good pitcher at home. So I mean, and he will be home tonight. So that's another thing. And again, the 2.9 ERA, the 6-1 record. I as you said, I think tonight's game is in favor of the Yankees.
But again, you never know. I mean, of course, yesterday's game was in favor of the Mets, and they won it. But again, the Mets have surprised the Yankees in the past, so I wouldn't be surprised to see a Mets win tonight. Again, it might be a pitcher's duel also, but again, Oliver Perez is known for having that one bad inning, which usually costs him the game. I mean, that's his signature trademark. Starts out well and then has that one awful inning, which usually costs him the opportunity of getting the win. So we'll see what happens. But Wong definitely does have the edge over Perez, no question about that. He's definitely a Cy Young candidate in this young season. So, I mean, we'll see what happens when game time rolls around. But the Mets definitely have momentum. The Yankees have lost two in a row. I mean, that's not bad, but they've lost seven out of the last 10. The Mets have played 500 ball the last couple of games. So, you know, the Yankees are falling apart here a little bit. So
yeah,
the
Mets, Yankees
maybe have this mental edge, if not the physical edge.
Yeah, the Yankees are 5.5 games out of first place. They're in dead last. But as I said, I mean, if we go through the same points last year, the New York Yankees were 20-23 at this point last year, which is exactly where they are now. And we still saw them make the playoffs, and you also have to keep in mind that right now they're playing without Alex Rodriguez and Jorge Posada, so those are big blows to the lineup. So I think they'll certainly start to step it up. And then, of course, you have the New York Mets, and at this point last year, they're 21-19 now. At this point last year, they were 26-14, so they're actually off to a worse start. And, of course, last year the Mets had that huge collapse, so even having a better start last year, they still didn't make the playoffs. So, you know, now they're off to a worse start than last year. So, you know, it's just something that you have to wait and see on. Of course, it's still very early in the season. You can't really predict anything 40 games in.
Maybe the Mets are learning from the Yankees to start off a little bit slow, and that usually leads to a successful season. But I can't remember the last time Yankees starting off strong. And the Mets always seem to start off strong, and last year they had the collapse, so maybe the Mets are trying a different approach this season.
It's certainly a possibility. Of course, the Mets aren't really playing with many injuries right now, but I think the Yankees, when they get A-Rod back, which it should be on Tuesday, and they get Posada back, they'll certainly be playing much better baseball. And, you know, as I said, you can't be too upset. They're in the same boat that they were last year. It's the same exact record, and they still got to the playoffs, so you don't want to worry too much.
It's incredible
all
to me, Mark.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, like, it's kind of unrelated to the whole Subway Series thing, but I mean, what are you guys thoughts about A-Rod taping a video message for Manny Ramirez after he hits number 500?
I didn't, but is it gonna be a good message?
Basically, what A-Rod was saying in the video. A message, he said, I'm going to get booed, so all I want to say is congratulations and many more, Manny. That's all he said. So he basically didn't want to say too much to, obviously the Red Sox fans are going to boo him, but he just wanted to say enough to give Manny his props for reaching the 500th home run mark. Of course, A-Rod himself is only two home runs away from 500.
Even though it seems like the Red Sox and the Yankees have the biggest rivalry in sports and all that, they still talk. Behind enemy lines, I'm sure there's still friends going on. I'm sure Damon still talks to.
Well, rivalries are really caused more by the fans, in my opinion, than they are by the players.
I'm sure Damon still talks to his old friends. And I'm not surprised that the two superstars on each team talk to each other and send each other video messages, so I don't really care in the sense of, oh, I can't believe that he's sending a message to a Red Sox that's horrible. Is that, you know, rivalries, yeah, it's fun to get into it, but the only reason that the players get into it is because of the fans. If the fans weren't going crazy, the Yankees and the Red Sox wouldn't really be dueling every single time they go out. Is the only reason that they are is because when the fans are booing the other team and cheering and on, and there's fights going on, and the bleacher creatures are going crazy, then you get into it. But I'm sure after the game, they're talking and hanging out. So
definitely.
It doesn't surprise me. But what I find weird is we're now 10 minutes before game time, and the Joe Girardi report just ended. Don't you think he should be with his team?
No. The Joe Girardi report, that's not a live show. It's a tape show. It's not live. Yeah, the Joe Girardi show is not live. If you listen to the show, I mean, it's clear that it's not Joe. He is with his team.
Is that the Al Jazeera network?
What?
It's called the Al Jazeera network. The Yankees, the infamous YES Network?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Joe, that show is taped, but I don't want to deviate from the Subway series. We'll be ending the simulcast soon. Appreciate all listeners for tuning in. But
the many that there are.
But I was saying, you know, Klaus, what are your thoughts? Because, you know, I was pretty much saying it from my perspective. Are the Yankees are in the same boat as they were last year? The Mets are off to a worse start. What's your whole take on that?
Well, I think definitely, I mean, the players, every time the last couple of years that we've had the Subway Series, the players have said that they don't care anymore. It's really all about the fans now. That, you know, the first couple of times it was kind of nice, you know, it was a great experience. But now it's just like any other game. It's like an exhibition game that you play during the season. But again, when you have both teams, I mean, the Mets and Yankees, you could have said one of the two biggest teams that were struggling in baseball going into this series, especially with their bats, and to see them and see that both teams actually came out and actually scored some runs on Saturday, maybe it's turning the tide for both teams. But definitely tonight will be a big measuring stick for both teams' offenses against Perez and Wong. But I think that this is really the first time that we've had a Subway Series where both the Mets and Yankees are really equally struggling and struggling to find their way to win consistent ball games. I mean, and against bad teams. I mean, Devil Rays, I mean, they definitely improved on pitching, but you can't say they're a contender. You can't say that. They're not a contender.
I 100% disagree with you. When you look at their team, not only are they pitching great, but they're hitting great too. I even said it before the season. I don't know. I remember. Do you remember, Mark, when I said the Devil Rays? I think that they're going to be good this year, and you laughed at me. I think.
Well, here's the one problem I have. The Devil Rays don't exist.
All right, the Rays. I'm sorry. The Tampa Bay Rays. I said going into the season that they were going to be good, and I think we had that little thing with the Devil Rays too. When I call them the Devil Rays by accident. I don't really understand why they changed their name to the Rays. But anyway, I knew that the past few years they've been building their pitching staff. They have Scott Kazmir, who could be an ace on any team. They have a few other pitchers.
It has been Kazmir. I mean, Kaz has only made three starts. It's been guys like
Shields.
Scott Shields can be another ace on a lot of teams. They've had a great
young offense.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, now in this day and age where the home run ball has declined the last two seasons, it's going to be the young teams, the fast teams, that are successful. And you see how Houston, they don't score a lot of runs. They've been winning games. They've been being successful. Oakland, the same boat. I mean, Houston has Lance Berkman, who's just incredible. But this day and age, it's the fast teams who can get on base and steal bases and play small ball that wins games, and it's the powerful teams since the league really cut down on steroids and people are stopping to take steroids. The the power teams like the Yankees, who relies on their home runs, they're struggling a little bit. So it's really the small ball that's going to take over in this league.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right, Evan. I mean, you want to have those young guys. And the thing with them is, with being young, I mean, they have fire in them. I mean, they really want to win. They want to get to the top. They are, I believe they're tied with the Red Sox in first place.
I mean, they're not just young guys, Devers also have, you know, Cliff Floyd in that dugout. I mean, he's an inspiring player, no question. So, I mean, Devers do have a good mix of players, but I mean, right now there's 7 games over. I just can't see them winning even 85 games, to tell you the truth.
Well,
85 games can be a contender. When you look at the last couple of years in the National League, I think the teams are under 500 that make the playoffs, or just about the 500 mark. So 85 games won is a contender. So you saying that you don't see them winning more than 85 games, you're saying that they are contenders. So you're contradicting yourself.
Well, I mean, it's tough. It's really tough with the Tampa Bay Rays. Of course, the Yankees will get A-Rod and Posada back. And then, of course, the Red Sox are always up there as well. The Red Sox never even lose. So, I mean, and then the other wild card teams, if you look at people that could potentially be in the running, I mean, Baltimore's 23-20, Oakland's 24-21, and then you have other teams right below it that are playing 500. Toronto, who could be a wild card, they're playing 500. Cleveland, who you always see in the wild card, they're playing 500. So, Evan, you're right. I mean, those that can be a contender because the wild card teams that we usually, you know, see fighting for that spot, they're playing 500 ball right now. So the Tampa Bay Rays could easily be that spot.
In the American League, you rarely see a wild card team make playoffs with even 89 wins. I mean, nationally, you see all the time that teams can make playoffs with even 84, 85 wins. But in the American League, come on, we can't be serious here. I mean,
What do you mean? I don't understand. Come on, we can't be serious.
The American League is not going to make the playoffs with 85 wins. It's going to take 89, 90 wins in the American League this day and age.
You're talking about a difference of 4 wins. You're saying they won't make those 85, it'll take 89. That's 4 wins different. You're saying like it's the biggest difference in the world.
Well, it could be. I mean, that could be potentially 4 games back. And, I mean, if you look at a team and you say, oh, they're 4 games back, you'll say, oh, my God, that's terrible. So the four games can make a big difference.
I tell you what, if Devil Rays win 81 games this year, then they've overachieved. They've overachieved. If they win 81 games, Devil Rays have, I mean, the Rays have far exceeded expectations.
I disagree.
Not won 72 games. They've been around since 1998. They've been around for a decade, and they haven't found any season to win at least 72 games.
So what? You're supposed to improve every season. That's why you build a team. You don't build a team to stay the same.
Well, they've improved, no question about it, but they haven't improved enough to get me thinking that they're going to all of a sudden just jump right into the playoff picture. It's just not going to happen. They'll fall off by next week.
You want to take a call from 7 Train Plus?
Yeah, let's take it.
Let's close the show.
Quick phone call. 7, what do you got?
Hey, guys, just want to say go Mets, and hopefully they seek your Yankees, Evan.
All right, well, hopefully you're...
I heard 7 Train. I agree.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope not, but the game tonight... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, hopefully we can get to the bullpen early because, you know, Farnsworth and Jarvis struggled. Hopefully the Mets have Wong throw a lot of pitches. That way we get to that struggling Yankee bullpen, hopefully open up the door that way. But thanks for taking my call, and... guys,
let's go Mets.
Keep up the good work, especially with the Simulcast. Let's go Mets.
Yeah, all right. Sorry that we got to cut you off, but, you know, we're rooting for the Yankees here on Sports Heaven. But, Quas, let's end the Simulcast. It's been great doing it with you, and we'll speak to you again, I'm sure.
All right, see you guys later.
All right,
so let's quickly end out the show. Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan does not own any of the music or voiceovers that we play. We appreciate you tuning into the show. We also do not own any of the logos. We'll be back next week at 8 o'clock, but the same place and the same great show. It's every Sunday night live out of Jericho. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Branoff. And Met fans, please get smarter.
All right. So thank you, everybody. And we'll leave you with 4 seconds of Sweet Caroline.